Good afternoon. You're listening to Verulam Sports on your Saturday afternoon. And I tell you, I love this time of year. It's the return of the Six Nations. England, obviously, just a few short months ago, fell at the final hurdle in the World Cup and will look to bounce back. It's a massive weekend of action, though. All told, it's the oldest rugby tournament in the world, but with four new coaches to the helm, got a fresh feel to it. To tell us all about it, to build up to the big weekend, it is a man who knows a thing or two about the game of rugby union. 73 times cap for England, six British Lions caps as well. He's an MBE. He is a entrepreneur par excellence. It is Phil Vickery. Welcome to Verulam Sports. How are you?
Hello. You've made me sound amazing, though.
I'm simply stating the facts, Mr. Vickery. They are there for us. Didn't even mention a MasterChef as well, but there we go. But yeah, looking to cook up a big weekend in the Six Nations.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've been lucky, certainly last year, having Rugby World Cup and the highs and the lows in the end, more so perhaps with the England team, losing out in the final, but a semi-final performance, which, against the All Blacks, I don't think I've ever seen such a complete performance from an England team, which was just absolutely fantastic, but a disappointment not being able to carry that through to the final. And I think actually it is really relevant to this opening weekend, because I've been fortunate enough to have won a Rugby World Cup. I've also been unfortunate enough to have captained England in a final of a losing Rugby World Cup final.
And against South Africa as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But it's interesting how you react from that. And you can either... I know they've played some rugby because they've gone back to club. But club is different to the international arena. And I think this now for this England team, even looking down through the team for tomorrow, a lot of guys who've been around that England team now for a while. So it'll be interesting to see how they react. And without question, that Rugby World Cup final defeat will play a part in that. So you're away from home, you're playing against France. It's, as a front row forward, let me tell you, when you play against France in France, it's a pretty combative environment, and it's probably one of the toughest games you can play. A very inexperienced French team, admittedly. Fabien Gaultier, who's taken over, who was probably one of the most wonderfully gifted, skillful number nines. I had the privilege of playing against him, and a really, really clever coach, which will be interesting to see how he develops that. I think France now have been, twice under-20 world champions.
He's back in that youthful dynamism, isn't he?
Yeah, lots of youngsters coming through who've got some belief. And to cap it all off, one of the best coaches that I've ever worked with is a guy called Sean Edwards. And obviously, his experience for coming across from Wales and what he did with Wales is, the Grand Slams that they've won, but also is what he did with London Wasps, where I crossed over with him. If Sean can get a real backbone in his, Northern Wigan edge and uncompromising style into that Gaelic flair with Fabien Gaultier, with all the skill sets that they have, I tell you what, I truly believe France could be a real world power again in rugby, because they've kind of drifted through the last few years. So
I feel like world rugby needs a powerful French side. Of course, thinking ahead, they are going to host the next Rugby World Cup. Yeah. And I like the fact that Gaultier, who did great things, of course, you mentioned as a very silky French-style scrum half.
He was a beautiful rugby player. He was just amazing, his skills.
A great coach with Toulouse as well, multiple winners. And ultimately, it's you. Yeah, it's unproven, but yourself, Phil, there is something to be said from a culture of winning. These youngsters have grown accustomed playing together largely to victory. Yeah, it's a different level, but I like the project here. And I tell you what, that Sean Edwards shout on the quiet, that could well be the single biggest difference maker for France over the next few years as they look to build big.
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest travesties for me is a proud Englishman, a proud Brit, but is the fact that he's never coached England yet. I think it's a real shame. But I agree with you, the point. Listen, obviously I want England to do well. I've always said it, and my friends and people around me, people who know me, know that I genuinely mean this. For our game in the Northern Hemisphere to compete with the Southern Hemisphere, which we are doing now more consistently, it's not about just an England team being strong, or a Welsh team, or a Scotland team, or an Ireland team. We all need to get better. And to see France coming back and building can only be good for all of our game here in the Northern Hemisphere. And it's going to push the boundaries, because and we need that. But the on the flip side of that, as a fan and someone who's hugely passionate about my country and my game, there is a coach, and we've got four new coaches this year.
We have.
There's a coach. One of those coaches that has a genuine shout of winning this thing, but also could be sat down in a couple of months' time having finished fourth.
That's the beauty of this tournament, though, isn't there? There's so many different histories and cultures, and always a little bit of a sense of uncertainty. Of course, that man we mentioned there, Sean Edwards, undersaw, alongside Warren Gatland, a massive improvement in the Welsh culture, and three Grand Slams. He's a winner to his core, and I tell you what, watch out for that. But I still think an England team looking to, as you say, refresh, reboot, post that World Cup performance.
Yeah, but the brutal reality for me, you know, this weekend, you're in Paris, and I look at that England team, and you go, right, Johnny May, 52 caps now, Manu Tuilagi, 40, Farrell, 79, Elliot Daly on the wing, 39, George Ford, 65, Ben Youngs at 9, 95 caps,
yep.
Joe Marler, 68, Jamie George, 45, 31, 34, you know, Courtney Laws, 81. It will need your experienced players to turn up and take control and really step up to the plate, but then layer on the back of that, you know, George Furbank at fullback, Northampton State, who, oh, where's he come from? What's he doing? I've only watched him in Northamptonshire, and he's looked, you know, really, really good. And he would have been in camp, and they would have seen something, gone, right, we need to develop this, we need to do that. And also the fact that he's playing within the back three of Johnny May and Elliot Daly. You've got all that experience there in the middle of the pot. If you're ever going to, you know, start to develop this England team, now's the time to do it. But we really need, and as we saw in World Cup final, you know, Carl Sinclair is a huge player.
Yeah.
That tight head, and we need him in the game. And also Mauro Toji, you know, he's so important to this England team, not just in his work rate, but now his leadership, his physical presence. This is a big French team. You're away from home. Things are difficult. You need those guys to step up. And Courtney Laws, we all know about his physicality. And his ability to tackle and just that confrontation. Like, Courtney needs to bring that to you know, edge to that back row with Sam Underhill. And Tom Curry, for me, yes, he's playing eight, but probably one of the standout players for me, you know, for England. And it will allow him then to go about what he does best.
I'm interested to see how Curry does at eight. For me, he's very much a kind of flanker, a little undersized in this modern world. I would say 4'8", but nevertheless, yeah. He does have such a rugby mind that I certainly can see him filling in there. A little bit surprising, though, for me, that with the loss of Vunipola, there wasn't a specialist eight in contention here. We'll see how that affects the game on Sunday.
I think what that does, I think what that tells me is where the way rugby's developed. The ball-carrying ability, and of course Billy Vunipola is a huge ball carrier for England, is going to put that, not pressure, but it's going to put more responsibility on that workload being shared around. And that will go down to the front row as well. And then you've got to think to yourself, you know, coming off the bench, you know, Luke Cowan-Dickey for me is just a wonderful rugby player, hooker. Every time I see him play for, you know, for the Chiefs, and certainly when he's come on for England, you know, Ellis Gange, Will Stewart, you know, uncapped, you know, tight head, goodness me. You know, what a day that'll be for him. But, you know, George Cruz, Lewis Ludlam, you know, on the bench as well. Always a fantastic ball carrier, been a very, very good player for Northampton Saints. But the one for me, which I'm really, I always get excited because I just think every time he plays, he just adds a pace and a vibrance to the game, certainly when he comes on as a change player, is Willie Hines.
Yeah.
And, you know, that pace that he brings to the game. And Ollie Devoto, you know, he's got one cap. I've never seen him play a bad game for the Chiefs. I'd love to see him in that England, you know, jersey and doing what he does week in, week out. And we all know the capabilities of Jonathan Joseph and his skill set. So I'm really excited for the weekend. But, you know, if we think back to the opening for your listeners, going back to the opening weekend, so Wales were, you know, Grand Slam champions last year. The opening half, I think, of their game was against France. I think there were 13 or 14, 3 or 0 down, I think, at half time.
I tell you what character that showed. I mean, it just tore up rugby's general way of going, didn't it? You shouldn't be able to come back at international level from that deficit.
No. Nope.
But they did.
They came out in that second half and completely took over the game, and suddenly won. They haven't played particularly well, but they won. But this wonderful word which people talk about is called momentum. Now, this weekend for all the teams, even for Ireland at home, it will be about winning. For Wales, today, it will be about winning. For England or France, it's about winning that first game. Actually, performance, of course, you want to play well. It's getting a win and then it's building. Licking all wounds and build. Where do we go from here? How do we improve? But you've got to win. And I think that, we do forget about that sometimes.
Absolutely.
And particularly now with that World Cup cycle being over, we are building towards something, but actually the World Cup's gone. It's now about reset button, refresh, where we are, let's build, let's go again, let's create identity. And I think this year, particularly with the Six Nations, with having those new coaches, Wayne Pivikit with Wales having to take over from the Gatland Mantle, will give those next generation of players that air of something new, something different, something fresh. We think about Andy Farrell. Yes, he's been involved with Ireland for a few years now. But actually, he's in charge, so there's a new era, a new feeling. Like, it gives people, what it's like to do something new and fresh. What I want to prove people wrong. Fabien Gauthier in France, and obviously Sean Edwards, it'll give those French players, right, we are in a new era. Let's go and show what we can do. And from an England point of view, it's like, right, I want to be part of, we got to that World Cup final. We've shown that we have the ability, we have the skill sets. But let's show people now what this England team is about. And obviously, Gregor Townsend and what he's up to up in Scotland, that Scotland team probably underperformed a little bit and would be disappointed with how way that they played when they got to Rugby World Cup. But actually, they've proven that they can compete and be with the very best. So let's go out and show people and stop this pressure, perhaps, of Rugby World Cup. Let's go out and revisit and this Six Nations and let's build. Let's not forget, in just over a year's time, we've got a thing called the British and Irish Lions.
I tell you, Phil, you're building the picture. You're really setting the scene.
But it's just magical.
Isn't it?
We've got that coming up soon, and it's not that far away.
And time flies, I tell you, goodness me.
The British and Irish Lions going to South Africa to play the world champion.
It's shades of 97, isn't it, that one?
Oh, it's just, honestly, I get out of it. But that's just, if I was a rugby player, and people say to me, do you still wish you played? I tell you, when you go and watch your games, you know, your collisions and impacts, and goodness me, of course, I wish I still did. But if you said one thing, the Lions, the British and Irish Lions tour, whether you're a fan, a player, a spectator, just the experience of being part of that. And I think one of the things I wanted to say to you today, I know I'm going off piste and stuff a little bit, but the greatest thing about the game of rugby, I know it's not everyone's cup of tea. I love a game. I'm hugely passionate about it. I fell in love with the game as an 11-year-old kid, and I've been lucky enough to travel the world, captain England, rugby World Cups, and done all that. I know that. But you know what the great thing about this weekend, the Six Nations, which makes our game for me better than any other sport? It'll be about those families who are going to the matches and meeting up friendships, occasion, Cardiff, Dublin, Paris. And yes, it's about rugby, but actually it's not about rugby. It's about coming together and celebrating a sport and those memories. And, there are people who will be meeting up. You've been meeting up for 10, 15, 20 years at the same pub or the same restaurant, the same food. And it's building those memories. And actually, by the way, there's a game of rugby going on.
Do you know what?
You're championing and celebrating. And it's not about division and... Yes, it's passion, and you're passionate about your country, and passionate about your team, and you want to win, but actually it's about more than that. It's just about having a sport as something that you can really get hold of and enjoy and love and feel proud to be part of, and that's why I love my game so much.
Phil, I tell you what, that's so powerfully put, and I think your message is so important. Transcending of rugby, rugby does it beautifully, but it's that coming together, that connection, which is so necessary. And I tell you, one man who in a almost a single person embodies that spirit of rugby so well was the mighty Doddy Weir. I know, obviously suffering from motor neuron disease, but has a brilliant foundation. And again, embodying that community, that coming together, I know you're heavily involved. Tell us about the big action that you've got for the Doddy Weir Foundation.
We're very proud that we have great support and sponsors and mates, partners, and obviously the tragic news for Bobby and his family with Andy, and also now Robbie Rose from Rugby League, and you know, Robert and his family. But we've done lots of dinners and fundraising for Dodie and the family, but actually it's about research. It's one of the biggest bugbears, and one of our biggest bugbears is, you know, yeast, and the treatment which he's having for motor neurone is treatment which is 30 years old, is still having the same treatment as people were 30 years ago. That's just wrong. And his ambition and his fund and what he's doing is raising money for research to try and get to the bottom of this horrible disease. And, you know, we all do our little bit. We're doing a march for Dolly over in Morocco on the Atlas Mountains at the end of March. So I'm going to go with my wife and I'm doing it with a group of us going over there. And it's 50K that we're doing. So we did a little bit of training for that. But lots of people are doing lots of things. But Dolly, if you had to... You know, I know I get a bit emotional, a bit passionate about things, but when you see people like Doddy and what he brought to the game and his character and the way that he played the game, and to see this terrible, you know, horrible thing which has happened to him, it just kind of, you know, it makes you rethink and reset about, you know, what life's about and what rugby's about. And as a rugby fraternity and as a group of players, but actually the family, the rugby family, from people has just been truly tremendous. And you know, any help that anyone can give, look up the fundraising, you know, March for Doddy, or he's got his own website, and look at the foundation and just try and make a difference, because the guy is incredible. And you know, we want to make sure that we do everything that we can to get rid of this horrible disease.
Here, here, powerfully put. Once again, Phil, can you point us in the direction of the best website so we can learn more and offer our support in the wider community for this brilliant, brilliant cause?
Well, I think your best website would be Dolly Weir Foundation. There's all links from the MND sites, and just find, obviously, keep your eyes open. Get involved in any way you can. If it's just support, it's not always about money, it's about awareness, it's about retweeting and re-Facebooking and just raising awareness and trying to get as much support as we can for, you know, for Doddy and his family. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening to that, because it's really, really important to me.
Yeah, perfect. I really appreciate your passion. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant cause. And Doddy Weir, great, great man, as you appreciate full well. Very quickly then, again, I'm super grateful for your time, Mr. Vickery. Quickly, predictions. The opening game, it's going to be hard to make a case for Italy against Wales, surely. Italy have lost the last 22 Six Nations matches. Wales are looking to equal their Six Nations record of 8 consecutive wins. You've got to think it's going to be Wales in that one, right?
Yeah, I think Wales. I was in Cardiff, you know, the best, beautiful stadium to play in, atmosphere, the fans, new era football, of course, a lot of familiar faces. I think there'll be too much passion, power, precision. I think Wales will win pretty comfortably. I want to see Italy progress, but I don't think they have enough in the tank to compete with Wales. If we go over to Dublin, I think you know, Scotland have the ability, and they've certainly got the players. There's a few changes going on here and there, but I think, you know, with Ireland predominantly, similar tactics to how they have been the last, you know, 3-4 years, the way they've been playing. I just see Ireland having too much and being too well drilled in what they do, particularly with Sexton, you know, in their like 10 forward pack, scrummage, line out. Really, really well drilled in. For Scotland, the difficult one. My heart, of course, is in Paris, and will say England. I just fear this French team. If England allow the French team to come out and get control of the ball, get on the front foot, win those collisions, I think England are going through a very, very difficult afternoon. On the flip side of that, I think if England can come out and put on the field the way that and impose themselves and their game plan on this French team, I think England could come out on top. I think with their experience, I think Farrell at 12 is a difference, Ford at 10.
I think in this game it's one where probably you're backing experience over youth, but my goodness me, it's going to be tense.
Oh, listen, it's Six Nations, isn't it? Who knows?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why we love it, Phil. It's going to continue on. As indeed I know you are. Just in closing, Phil, great to have all your inputs and all your passion. Again, looking forward to your involvement there in March with the Doddy Weir. What March? So do look up that, the Doddy Weir Foundation. But also, I know that you do an amazing amount of things in your own world. And I was lucky to be at the launch of the Raging Bull range in one of the big London stores. What's been happening for the Raging Bull line since, and where can we find more? And you know, just engage with some of the great work that you do in your entrepreneurial hat on.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm very lucky. I've got fantastic people with Raging Bull. You know, find a business and see it grow and develop. The opportunities that I've had, particularly with House of Fraser and Sports Direct Group, have been fantastic and you know, really looking to grow the business. But I'm just very lucky across the whole thing. You know, rugby, like, you know, I'm from Kilcampton, a little tiny village in Cornwall, loved rugby, and suddenly rugby gave me opportunities. And you know, now the business region, but we're seeing the growth and seeing how we're growing as a brand and developing, creating, getting stronger, it just makes me feel really proud. Now, whether that's on outlets or whether that's our independents and you know, across all stores, the House of Fraser, we've got 48 stores, right? It just blows me away, really, just how lucky I am. Lucky to have met some brilliant people. I'm lucky to have had the roots that I've had to people since, and somebody, you know, as I go around now, I'm going in before watching my son play hockey at school and seeing that, you know,
Phil, you've just got such a great attitude. It's super appreciated your time. I wish you every continued success and happiness. I tell you what, I wish Family Vickery well on the pitch today. And as I say, appreciate your time. Best of luck with all endeavours.
Listen, if you need me back on or you fancy a chat, just give me a buzz. Well, happy to have a chat, dude.
I tell you what, that's put a big beaming smile on my face. Phil, enjoy your Six Nations weekend. Thanks a million.
No worries. Thank you. Really appreciate it.